Well, this evening we're going to turn to God's Word now, and we're turning to Matthew chapter 6. And after this, boys and girls, don't worry, you get to rush off to your evening activities. But we turn to Matthew chapter 6 and page 970 in your pew Bibles, and we look at verses 5 to 15. They're well-known verses. You will probably be able to recite some of them, maybe even without looking at it. But it's basically the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at. It's also mirrored in Luke chapter 11, but the fuller version is found in Matthew 6. And so let's turn to God's Word and Matthew 6 verse 5. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in the secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Amen. This is the word of God. Boys and girls, you're free to go to your evening activities. So I'm sure Eleanor, and probably, I don't see if Peter's about, but Eleanor will definitely be livid because, don't worry Eleanor, I'm going to explain before I start making it out that you're angry. Basically over the next few weeks and probably months of the summer period, we're going to be doing really a series of looking at prayer in the Bible. Looking at different prayers, and why Eleanor will be livid is I've got my oar in first and I've managed to get, in some senses, the easiest, most well-known prayer out of the way, and managed to get the easiest section on prayer. Well, I say that now. It's maybe not so easy when we get into it. But certainly I've picked the most apparent prayer in the Bible to turn to this evening. And why it's so easy, I guess, to turn to it is because most of us know it, don't we? Most of us, whether we learnt it in primary school off by rote, or have read this section of the Bible, know the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer we could probably say in our sleep or just before we go to sleep, whichever way you do it. But tonight, as we prepare to look at this kind of series of prayers in the Bible, I want to look at this prayer because it's special. Special not because it's got special words in it or is magic, but because it literally is Jesus' response to the question. If you turn to Luke 11 as the other example, you'll find that Luke 11 begins with the question. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "How can we pray? Teach us how to pray." And really, Luke 11 and this version of Matthew 6 are Jesus' answer to that question. How to pray? Why should we pray? The importance of prayer, all wrapped into one. And tonight, as we launch this kind of mini-series on prayer and prayers in the Bible, I want us to look at this prayer and learn from this prayer. There are many prayers in the Bible. In fact, the whole book of Psalms, arguably, is 150 prayers you can look at. And I truly believe that when we look at prayers, we can learn from them. Prayers are not just necessarily something personal and individual says, but are things that can teach us a lot. And so, let us tonight turn to this, I guess, the prayer that Jesus gave us, and see what we can learn from it. See if we can learn something about prayer. I do make an apology, slight apology. Tonight won't necessarily be as much of a preach and more of a teach, if you want to put it that way. I apologize in advance that may seem more like a lecture. I'm going to argue my defense is it's actually Jesus who's giving us a long spiel of teaching. So I'm blaming Jesus, if that doesn't sound too blasphemous here. Sorry. But yes, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is teaching for several chapters, several verses here. And so if it comes across as almost like I'm teaching, hopefully it's not me and hopefully it's God. So apologies in advance. But let's turn to the Lord's Prayer and see what we can learn from it. The first thing that Jesus lays out for us is the purpose of prayer. If you look at those early verses, verses 5 on to 8 really, you will see Jesus laying out the purpose of prayer. Look at the verses, and we see two groups really appearing. In the first part we see, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites." Why? "For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." And then later he goes on to say, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases or babble like the Gentiles or the pagans do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." What we find in verses 5 to 8 is that Jesus lays out the purpose for prayer. And he does it by pointing to two groups, I guess, who do it wrong. Two groups who pray for the wrong reasons. Two groups who, by their style and form of prayer, have the wrong motives. He highlights the hypocrites first, showing that they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners, that they may be seen by others. Jesus wants it to be clear. You do not pray so that others hear you. That is not the purpose for prayer. You do not pray so that others hear you. Because what Jesus explains is that these hypocrites are praying for what? Attention. For praise. For people to listen to their prayer and go, "Bravo. Pray some more." And you know what he says? They'll get their praise, they'll get their reward. Full stop. When they pray out loud and people go, "Amazing, great prayer, well done," that is their reward. That's what Jesus says. But is that really the reward we want when we pray? Jesus is making clear that is not what we want. Folks, if you pray so that others will clap you, you may get adulation. You may get all the attention. You may get praised. But that is not the reward we should seek. So Jesus goes on to explain that as followers of him, we should seek to have an opposite attitude. So what is the opposite of going out and standing on street corners so that everyone would hear you? Well, he uses the idea of going to pray alone, in a secret place, away from the world, but with the Lord, which is much, much better. Now let me be clear. Some have taken these verses to mean that what I did earlier on, where I prayed out loud and you listened in, was wrong. Some have taken it to mean we shouldn't pray out loud. We shouldn't pray in groups. We should go into our private, secret place, close the door and pray. Don't get me wrong, that is a good approach for prayer. But Jesus is not saying here, do not pray in public. Notice, he doesn't ever say the words, never pray in front of other people. Never ever do it. What he is contrasting is what the hypocrites do, their motives, their purpose, the reason they're doing their prayers, with how we as Christians should pray, and what our motives should be about. And just in case you don't believe me about what Jesus says, well, Jesus would be a hypocrite himself. Because after what he says in Matthew, he prays before he feeds the 5,000. He prays before he raises Lazarus to life. He prays in earshot of his disciples in Gethsemane. Jesus many times prayed in public. This is not Jesus saying, never, ever, ever pray in front of people. That is not what he is saying. He's not against public prayer. None of the Jews were against it. But he is against the attitude that the hypocrites have. He wants his followers, Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, us who love him, to seek to pray with the right purpose in mind, with the right attitude. Because Jesus isn't really concerned with the mechanics of the how and wheres, but actually with the motivation that lies behind your prayers. So what he says here is, don't pray for adulation and attention. Don't be like those people who do that. But rather, you know what? It would be better if you prayed in the secret place. And why are you praying in the secret place? Well, if you do, the God who hears both in public and in private will give you the much greater reward that awaits. Instead of that, applause from the public, you will hear God at the end of days saying, well, well done, my good and faithful servant. Is that not far greater than a few applause, a thumbs up, and a well done? What Jesus wants to make clear is that the purpose of prayer is not for other people. What is prayer for? It's for us to talk to God. Prayer is not for other people. It's not so as other people will be proud of you. It is so as you can speak to the one who can hear even in the secret place. And that's God. But he moves on to the second group and draws attention to the Gentiles, explaining in verses 7 and 8 that when we pray, we should not heap up empty phrases or babble, as the NIV translates it, as the Gentiles or pagans do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So we're not to pray so as others hear us, but we're also not to pray rhyming off loads of stuff, saying loads of fancy words, trying to make our prayers amazing so as to get God's attention. What is prayer for? What's the purpose of prayer? Is it that we say enough things that God will listen? You know, if I pray 1,000 times, it's almost like I'm jumping up and down. God will hear me more. Listen, here's me, God. That's not what it's about. What's prayer for? The purpose of prayer is not really to say lots of things and get God's attention. These Gentiles, these pagans, their purpose was to keep praying and keep praying until God listened. And again, Jesus is not saying that long prayers or in fact repeated prayers are a problem. Don't get me wrong. Jesus is not saying if you pray the same thing for the rest of your life, he'll be annoyed at you or God will be angry. But what he is saying is that, again, the purpose of your prayer is not to twist God's arm or to cajole him or to convince him to listen to you. Folks, There are many people in this world who pray. Not necessarily to the God of heaven and to the Father of Jesus, but there are many people who pray. And there are many people who believe that by praying and praying and praying the same thing over and over and repeating it over and over, they will get God's attention. And there were people in the Bible times as well. If you remember the story on Mount Carmel, where the priests of Baal are trying to get Baal's attention, what do? Pray incessantly. All day. That's commitment. I don't know about you. I'd probably get bored after a couple hours. They went all day. The Baal would send down fire to light their altar. They prayed and prayed to get their God's attention. Folks, God listens even to short prayers. What Jesus wants us to see is the purpose of prayer is not for us to twist God's arm. We don't pray fancy things over and over again so that God will listen to us. He's already listening. And if you want an example of this, of religions that do it, think of the Hare Krishna movement. If you've never seen Hare Krishna, go down near Castle Court on a Saturday in Belfast and you will find at least one or two Hare Krishna followers. And what they do, they believe that if they repeat the phrase Hare Krishna 1,000 times, they will be saved. I would sing it for you, but my singing's not good enough. But it goes something a bit like Hare Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna. That's what it says. And they repeat that. They are dedicated. Why? Because they believe by doing it, their God will listen. Krishna will listen. Krishna will save them. What Jesus said about prayer there in that time is still as relevant today. There are people in this world who believe that they will get God's attention by shouting at him and repeating the same thing over and over again, babbling. Folks, according to Jesus, the purpose of prayer is not to babble until God listens. Not to twist God's arm by saying lots of stuff. But the purpose of prayer is to come before who? Read what it says. Your Father who knows what you need before you ask him. What is the purpose of prayer? To come before the God who knows you, even in the secret place. To speak to him, to get to know him better. And not to twist his arm by long-winded babbling. But to come to the God who actually knows the very thing you're just about to ask for. Folks, Jesus lays out the purpose for prayer. Prayer is important. He lays out what it shouldn't be. That it shouldn't be about twisting God's arm. That it shouldn't be something that we do to get attention. But it should be something that we do to be intimate with our Father who already knows us. What a purpose to come and pray to God. But then we get into the second thing, and what we see is the Lord's Prayer. And we all know it. We've heard it umpteen times. You could probably quote it to me. Maybe in an AV version for most people. I learned it in AV. You could quote it. And many of us believe that it has to be said just as is written. Now, I'm not dissuading you from believing that. It's important that you pray the Lord's Prayer. Brilliant. But I want to be clear on something. If God has just, or if Jesus has just condemned people for babbling off the same rote phrase to get God's attention, do you think Jesus is going to give us a prayer that we must repeat ad infinitum the exact same way or else? I really don't believe the Lord's Prayer is God's way of saying, pray this. Jesus didn't say, pray exactly this. And if you ever pray it wrong, it won't work. This is not a magic formula to get God's attention. Jesus is just after saying that prayer is not about babbling until God listens. But rather, what we see, how Jesus begins this prayer is this. Pray then like this, or this is how you should pray. Something like this. And so in the Lord's Prayer, we have a pattern. A pattern for prayer. A model prayer. Not something we always have to copy. Don't get me wrong, if you pray it, it's good. I'm not saying that's bad. But I am not saying, and I want to be clear on this, this is not a magic formula prayer that if you pray it, it will get God to listen better. This is not a prayer that you have to pray just like this or else, but is rather a pattern for prayer for us. So Jesus, instead of giving us some kind of magic mantra or secret incantation that we must repeat precisely, gives us a pattern for prayer. And it's brief, it's simple, and truly is a full and complete prayer. R.C. Sproul writes a wonderful book on this prayer, actually. He writes the book, it's called Does Prayer Change Things? And he explains in that book, he says this, Jesus was providing us with an outline of priorities, or those things that ought to be priorities in our prayer lives. What is the pattern we find here? Well, Jesus lays out six little sections. You see it breaking down. The first is, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The second is, your kingdom come. Third, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fourth, give us today our daily bread. Fifth, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And sixth, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one or from evil. And these six are there to show us the pattern of prayer. In the first place, what we see is our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is the old English for basically honored as holy. So when Jesus says, Father, hallowed be your name. Your name be glorified, I guess. Your name be seen as holy or honored. What he's showing us is that our prayers begin where? Where do the prayers begin? Do they begin with us saying, God, look here, I've got an issue. I really need your help in it. Not at the start. Do they begin by saying, God, I really want this. Come and help me get that. Nope. Jesus tells us to begin our prayer life. Begin our prayers seeking the honor of God's name. So the pattern of our prayer is to start by yearning for God's honor. And it follows suit that the next two that he says are that your kingdom come, your will be done. What are the three that come first? God, let your name be honored, that your reign, your kingdom come here on earth and be seen, and let your will be done. I don't know about you, but that's not always the way I open my prayers. Often, it's not how I open my prayers. Often, I open my prayers by doing precisely what most of us do, which is say, Lord, come on. I really want this. I really need this. Bless me. Do this for me. Yet Jesus lays for us a pattern that says, look, the first thing you pray for, pray that God's name be honored. Pray that his kingdom come. Pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then what flows out of it? We see, give us today our daily bread. The book I just told you about, R.C. Sproul writes an interesting line there. He says, notice what it asks for. Daily bread, not daily steak, not daily feast, but only a necessity. Bread. We're called by Jesus to ask what we need for, not what we want. Or what is needed for us, not what we want. Asking for daily bread doesn't necessarily mean just physical food, but what we need to sustain us. Then he says, forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. Again, you might look at this and think this is money. This isn't about money, folks. When you look at verse 14 and 15, you'll see Jesus goes on further to talk about forgiveness. And he talks about forgiving sins of others against us. Really, what Jesus is saying there is, look, ask that your sins would be forgiven and you would be able to forgive others. I wonder when the last time you asked God to help you forgive others was. Brother and sister in Christ, our prayer lives have to ask for things that are difficult as well. Forgiving others is not easy. It doesn't come natural to anybody apart from Jesus himself. We need help with it, and that's why Jesus encourages us to pray for it. And then he finishes by saying, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Essentially praying what Paul hints at in Ephesians 6 when he talks about putting on the armor of God. Praying that we would be protected in this spiritual war that we are in. That we wouldn't be led into temptation. And even if we do come up against temptation, that we would be protected from evil and sin. The pattern of prayer is this, that Jesus gives us. It is not a magic mantra of words that we must repeat, but a pattern whereby we should pray first for God's glory, then for his kingdom, then for his will to be done, and out of that, pray for what we need. Pray for strength to do things, including forgiving others. And pray for protection against the evil one. I don't know about you, but often my prayers aren't like that. Yet Jesus said, pray like this. What a pattern for prayer. What a challenge. So we see the purpose of prayer and we see the pattern. But finally, and very briefly, there is a point to all this. Why is Jesus sitting here saying, look, here's how to pray? Well, the disciples had asked in Luke 11 for this. But there's another reason. If the purpose is not to get God's attention, is not to, you know, twist God's arm, is not to be heard by others, what is the point in prayer? In fact, there's a section here in verse 8 where it says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Why bother praying? What's the point in praying if God already knows what we're going to ask? Surely we can just think about it and that's it. Well, I believe if you look at verses 14 and 15, it might not be apparent at first, but the more I read through this, the more I thought about this, notice what it says. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Why does Jesus not just finish with a nice amen and then leave it? Why doesn't he even finish the way we know how to finish the Lord's Prayer? You know, it doesn't finish the way we normally do. We normally finish by saying, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Yet Jesus doesn't finish there. Jesus calls the people to action. He calls them to actually forgive. And whilst this elaborates a little bit on the reason we should talk about forgiving our debtors, it's an actual action. Forgiving someone is an action. And that's important. Because if you forget everything else I've said tonight, if you don't listen to another word I say, listen to me now. What is the point in prayer? Well, if we pray like this, prayer shapes us. Prayer shapes us. It leads us to act differently. It shapes how we live in the world. Brother and sister in Christ, what I want you to see tonight is this. Jesus calls us to pray with purpose that's not like others, in a pattern that involves putting his kingdom first and our needs second, all because he wants our prayer life to shape us. I believe one of the biggest problems that most of us have as Christians is this. That practically how we treat God is like some kind of spiritual vending machine. We come to him, yes, on our knees. We come and we pray. We go, "Dear Lord, please will you beep, 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 give me this. Beep, beep, give me that. Do this. Do that." And we expect him to vend it out to us. We expect God to just give us what we want. And our prayer lives are dead because of it. Because when God says no, we run away. Too often, and I hold my hands up, many times in my life I've done the same. Or to use another analogy and mix my metaphors completely, we come to God with our plans and we say, "Stamp this for me. Dear Lord, I want my A in my exams. I want to get the new car. I want to get this. Here's the plan. You stamp it. You give it the seal of approval and make it happen." That is not how prayer should be. God is not some spiritual vending machine. We can't go to him and pray, "God, give me this," and he will magically give it to us. And Christ wants to show us that the purpose of prayer is what? To talk to God. To follow a pattern where he comes first and our needs second. And needs, not wants. And if we pray like that, it will shape how we live. If our prayer life follows suit, we will want God's glory. We will actually want to forgive people. Because we realize that what God offers is much greater. Prayer is not so much about coming to God to get out of him, but rather coming to God to be molded by him. If anything, that line that says "your will be done on earth as it is in heaven" should be not quite a mantra, but the thing that echoes in our prayers. "Lord, I am in this situation. I don't know what to do. Guide me. Your will be done in my life." How different would our prayer life be if it started and ended like that? And so Jesus shows us the purpose. He shows us the pattern. And he makes clear the point of our prayer. And my hope, brother and sister in Christ, is this tonight. I didn't start off by exclaiming why prayer is important, because I am assuming that if you're a Christian, you already know that tonight. I am assuming you believe, if you're in here, that prayer is important. But my hope is as you read this at home again, as you look at the purpose of prayer, that it's not just to cajole God. It's not just to get others' attention. As you look at the pattern that you see there, where God's glory, God's kingdom, God's will come first and then our needs, that your lives will be changed because you'll put it into practice. That when you pray those prayers like this one, that you will want God's glory first and only your needs after. And that will lead to changed lives. My hope over this summer period is as we look and listen to more prayers, not just the one that Jesus gave us, that we will be shaped and molded and guided and learn so many valuable things. But at the very base, I hope you leave tonight yearning to pray more and to pray like Christ has taught us. And so let us do just that. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for prayer. We thank you that Jesus taught us a way to pray, and through it we can learn so much. Lord, help us to seek to learn to pray better. And that, Lord, we would come into your presence not trying to convince you that we are right or that we need something. But as we come to pray to you, we'd ask your will be done in our lives. And so, Lord, as we're ministered to, we pray that these words, the lyrics, this peace, would strike a chord in our hearts. That by your Spirit, you would mold us and shape us into Christ-likeness. In whose name we pray. Amen.